Hello, Armistead, Melbourne.
Yes, is this John Frame?
That is.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. I was expecting your call at 8:45, so I'm afraid we haven't got a whole lot of time here because there's another one coming in at 9 o'clock, but I'll be glad to help in any way I can.
Okay. Well, I think my watch actually says 8:45. Am I running late?
My bedside clock says 8:54, but who knows? That could be wrong, too. Maybe we'd better check.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
Are you?
Yeah.
Great. Well, then that's good.
We'll be all right then. Great. Okay. Well, welcome to Queer Radio.
Thanks.
This is the only radio show in Brisbane that goes out to a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender audience.
Mm.
So it's a real pleasure to have someone like you popping into Brisbane and having a chat to us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be on it, especially in a place like Queensland. So
it's got the ideal name, hasn't it?
Well, not for some people, I suppose.
Yeah, I was impressed when I read Tales of the City for the first time over the last couple of days. The references that there are to Australia in it as well. You've got, I assume, the flocks of budgerigars getting around San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an Australian reference?
I think it could be.
Yeah. We have a lot in common with Australia, and we swap a lot of flora and fauna. You know, a lot of things that grow in Australia grow very nicely in San Francisco. So when we arrive here for the first time, we have this eerie sense of being vaguely familiar with it.
Yep. Now, there's a mention of eucalyptus trees as well, so it must look very much the same.
Absolutely. We imported a lot of eucalypts at the turn of the century as windbreaks in California.
Uh-huh.
And they're still around. In fact, I live on the edge of a eucalyptus forest.
Great. They smell beautiful in the mornings, don't they?
They're wonderful. I love them, and I cut them and stick them in pots and, keep the little, those little ball things, whatever they are. What have you called
them? Gum nuts.
Seeds. Yeah. Make a nice scent in a sauna, too.
Right. I'd like to know about the reference in Tales of the City to Brisbane's answer to Baryshnikov.
Well, there's a Brisbane, California.
Ah.
It's named after a famous journalist named, I believe, Arthur Brisbane, who lived in California.
Right. At least he knows how to pronounce it properly as well.
Sure.
So this is 20 years since Tales of the City was first written.
Mm.
How do you feel now, like a comment you make in the book is, or Brian, the character Brian, gets to say to Michael when they're lying around stone, that he's concerned that we're going to be 50-year-old libertines in a world full of 20-year-old Calvinists.
Mm.
Now you're a bit over 50.
Yeah, that's kind of eerie, isn't it? Yeah, and in some ways I predicted what was to come, but there are a lot of 20-year-olds who are pretty cool these days, so it's not as scary as I thought it might be.
Yeah.
I hear from those 20-year-olds all the time who read Tales of the City and relate to it completely, so I probably was being a little gloomier than I might have been.
Right.
But it was odd. It was odd to realize that I was in some ways anticipating my own future when I wrote that.
Yeah.
And certainly that particular passage in which they're ruminating over something big that might come along that would change everything has eerie echoes of AIDS. Although I think AIDS really, in its own terrible way, has opened up discussion of homosexuality in a way that we might never have anticipated. And to that degree, it has moved us a little closer to a time when people don't make such a big deal out of it.
Right. I know that on the Today program on Monday morning, when you were being interviewed, you were pointing out that, okay, you're a gay man and you have a HIV partner, but you're not actually out to talk about AIDS. Your job is, you're a journalist. That's what you do for a living.
Well, a writer, a novelist, yeah.
Right, I'm sorry.
I was mostly just annoyed by the simplistic nature of that woman's questions. Often people who run mainstream television shows put you right back to start, you know, when they ask you these questions. What's it like to live with AIDS? Well, if you don't know, after 15 years, you must be pretty bloody ignorant is all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly reduced to my sexuality in those contexts. I certainly don't mind talking about it. I've talked about it for years. I've been one of the earliest people to talk about it. But I'd like some intelligent questions if they're going to ask me about it rather than simply point out here's a fag, and he's going to talk to you about AIDS.
Oh, you did a good job. I thought you were very polite.
Well, thank you. I wondered afterwards. I felt kind of bad about it because she'd basically been set up by some lazy producers who'd given her some crummy answers. But I think they've got to do their homework a little bit more and pay the respect that they would pay to anybody else when they come on the show and not simply do this sort of distancing thing, you know? That's what really bothers me. It's like saying, this person isn't one of us. He's an ambassador from somewhere on the outside. And most people, gay and straight, are more than familiar with the phenomenon of homosexuality and the phenomenon of AIDS. If they're not, they're pretty ignorant.
Yeah. Well, luckily, from what I've seen, I've only been out for the last 3 and a bit years here, but just in the last 12 months, it's become much more comfortable for HIV people to move amongst the gay scene, even with confidence, where they were also being separated.
Really? That's sad to hear.
But it's good that it's coalescing really well.
Yeah, I think the world is changing, and I think it's changing because a lot of people like you are coming out and presenting yourself to the world and letting them see we're not such a scary bunch, and it makes a big difference. I really do think it boils down to just unfamiliarity with the subject. Most cities and most people are not that different, and in places where there are big waves of homophobia, it usually has to do with unfamiliarity. And I find the more that people come out and the more that they insist on being seen and heard, the lower the levels of homophobia. I know it's easy for me to talk about that living in San Francisco, where it's always been a pretty tolerant place. It really helped me. And it's not so easy in a place like Queensland. So I have a special admiration for people who do it when it's a tougher job to do.
Sure. I know when I was reading Tales of the City and the place, 28 Barbary Lane, run by Anna, it's at virtually the same time in Brisbane at 36 Dunsmore Street, my good friend Joan was running a house that had the same style of thing happening. There was like drugs, not so much alcohol, but Joan would be, she'd always have a door open at 3 o'clock in the morning. You could call in and visit Joan and she'd have a couple of people talking to her, and it was just a great place of support, where I'm sure that there are a couple of dozen people in the world today who are really self-confident, have their life together purely because one woman had the strength to run a house like that for 10 or 15 years.
You know, I've heard that all over the world, and it's pretty wonderful. I used to think that I was writing just about San Francisco, that, you know, this was something special we had and nobody else had. But the more I've toured, the more I've heard it just about everywhere. I've had people in Helsinki tell me that, you know, come up and say, here's my Anna, and here's my Mona, and here's my Mouse. And they're basically saying, I have a family like the one you wrote about in Tales of the City.
Yep. And with the things that tend to happen, that at first you'd think it's like, this is outrageous coincidence as a device to make this book interesting. But things like that almost happen in real life, I've been finding.
I'm a great believer in serendipity. I think that if you live your life in a certain way, that all sorts of cross currents occur, and what we normally regard as coincidence becomes a pretty much an everyday thing. And that's that can be quite exhilarating. That's, I suppose, if I have a spirituality, it has to do with that, the wonderful way that certain themes in your life come back to play time and time again, and the way that the people you love and the things you care about crisscross.
Yeah. Do you think you managed to keep up steam? Because I haven't read all of your books. You did 6 novels in the series that take in the Tales of the City theme. And do you feel that Shore of You was as good as Tales of the City?
Well, since you haven't read it, I can tell you that it's perfectly brilliant. I don't know. Yeah, I'm very... I think I actually got better as I went along because I learned more about writing. I learned more about myself. There's an innocence to the earlier novels that has its own appeal, but there's more, you know, the maturity of the later ones offers something maybe a little deeper and a little different.
Right. Brennan from here was saying that in the novel Baby Cakes, that part of it, you include a gay Australian Aboriginal.
Yes, that's right.
He was very impressed with that.
I mean, the whole concept fascinated me. I mean, it was a distant thing to me when I first started writing about it, I must admit, because I had just come to Australia, so I was just beginning to be aware of the Aboriginal population and the way, you know, the Aboriginals here suffered from a lot of the same things that people of color suffer from in America, and it fascinated me. And I also wanted to reflect the sort of multicultural nature of London itself, the way so many cultures had come together there.
Mm.
And it had to do with my own growing consciousness. I mean, the earlier books are kind of white, because I was kind of white. I am kind of white.
Yeah.
And but the longer I lived in San Francisco, the more I realized that it was not a scary proposition to write about other cultures, because basically people are pretty much the same. We just look a little different.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that hard to relate to the experience of this kid living in London.
One big experience that you went through was through Vietnam, and this is a question that has just been put to me to ask you, is how much of your experience of Vietnam and that affected you has gone on with you in life?
Well, I didn't have a very traumatic experience in Vietnam. I was in a communications bunker. There was the war going on around me, but I didn't have to kill anybody or get shot at very often. So it wasn't a life-changing experience, except insofar as it exposed me to a lot of different kinds of people. It let me live in the Orient for a year. And I think in many ways it stimulated my storytelling instincts. That's about as far as it went, really.
Oh, that's good. And so there wasn't much to you being the last person out of Cambodia? I mean, with Pol Pot coming over the hill, that wouldn't have been much fun.
Well, that the account of that is there's an account of that in Randy Schiltz's book, Conduct Unbecoming, about gays and lesbians in the military. And if you read it, I think you'll see it was pretty much a comic episode. Not a terrifying thing at all, but sort of ridiculous competition between me and another American lieutenant to see who would be the last to get out. And I happened to be naked when I did it, so you can read Randy Schiltz's book and find out how that happened.
Yeah. With The Celluloid Closet, I saw that at the Brisbane Film Festival, and it's a wonderful movie, totally entertaining. You did a great job with the script.
Thank you. I think it's an entertaining movie, too. I really love it.
Yeah. Were you terribly disappointed that Lily Tomlin didn't come out as being a woman who has sex with a woman?
Yeah, I was real disgruntled by that because I was told that she was going to, and that's the only reason that I agreed to write the narration, knowing that she was going to deliver the narration. So it really bugged me because the theme of The Celluloid Closet is that it's okay to be gay, and it's ridiculous that Hollywood has suggested otherwise all these years. So to have this very movie, those very words narrated by someone who has told the press that she will not answer questions about her private life is galling, to say the least.
Hmm. Especially if it's a case like Dirk Bogarde, apparently, he says he's lived with the same man for 50 years, but it's totally platonic. And I tend to believe him, but if you know for a fact that Lily's living with a woman and she's having sex with him, that's something.
Well, I mean,
different.
I don't want to know the details.
Yeah,
I really don't want to know the details of her private life, but I do know she's a gay icon. She does all her book signings at gay and lesbian bookstores, and she's been basically building a career on the gay community for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So to remain conspicuously silent about that is to insult all of us, I think.
Yeah, she's a great actress, though.
She's a great actress. She's very funny. There's a lot to love about her.
Yep.
I just wish she'd get her shit together in this regard.
With Christmas being a big theme in Tales of the City, that's the way it ends, wrapped around Christmas. Queer Radio actually goes to air on Christmas Day here. And I was just wondering if you could wish Queer Radio listeners a Merry Christmas. I'll play that back on Christmas Day.
You bet.
And also, we could just wrap this up at the end of our 15 minutes. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'd like to have a chat to you for a lot longer.
I wish I could too, John.
And hopefully your lunch will go great. What I would look forward to, you're speaking and actually reading from your new book, or your more recent book, at the luncheon. And all of your books are available on audio cassette, and I've been really appreciating the spoken word, like especially authors presenting their books lately.
Mm.
So that's something to really look forward to.
Yes, actually, I'm reading from a work in progress. It's not finished yet. And I might tell your listeners that the manuscript I've been reading from will be auctioned off sometime this year at the Celebrity AIDS Auction for the AIDS Council of Queensland.
Fabulous.
I was just asked today if I would contribute something. I've decided to contribute this manuscript, which I've hauled with me all over Australia, and which is the first copy anywhere of the first chapter of the new novel. I'll have the head of anyone who publishes it, but I want to make a little money for the AIDS Council of Queensland, so anybody that would like to own that can bid on it when that auction comes up.
That's great. So we could say a temporary goodbye to Queer Radio and then get you to do the Christmas greeting.
You bet.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Armstead. Have a great stay while you're in Australia, and say hello to your partner when you get back to San Francisco.
I'll do that. He's sorry he's not here with me.